I want to talk a little bit. I started talking in the past, continue talking today. We'll see how far we get to it, about praying with Holy Spirit, Spirit-led prayer, instead of just praying. And this is how I pray. We've talked about it a couple times. I want to go repeat it, talk about it again. I've put three steps up there. When we get the concept that everything we do is with a person, and this is hard to communicate, and that's why I talk about it a lot. So much of Christianity is facts about the Godhead, facts about the Bible, commandments, and all those are needed. We need those. But if we lose the touch that we're interacting with the Trinity, and that's something I've plan on talking about on and off a lot this year, is how to walk with the Trinity. That's why He created us. He created us in His image, just like when you have kids. The kids look like you. When He had us, we look like Him. And it's He wants to be a part of our lives, not just for us to know about Him. And that's why we want the encounter and worship. And so prayer, for so many of us, and we'll walk through it and look at some verses. Prayer for so many of us, or in Christians, maybe not in this room, is so mechanical. It's when I used to be in the denominational, non-spirit-filled movement, we would pray one way. When I got in the charis, or late Pentecostal charismatic thing, we'd pray another way. And then we learned about declarations and prayers of agreement. And all of that is valid and it's biblical and you can find it in Scripture. But somewhere along the way, we forget that prayer is walking with a person. And it's the Holy Spirit and it makes all of the difference in the world. And if we can just keep an emphasis on, and that's what I want to talk about here today, keep an emphasis on He's a person. It will make your life not boring. It'll make your life totally different. And an energized prayer won't become a mechanical movement. We talked at the 5:30 prayer. Dahlia shared about how the Holy Spirit, created the whole earth and it was easy for Him. For those of you that were here, know that it was talking about. Here's another thing to think about. I'm a computer guy. Software guy. We often measure servers, computer servers, and how many transactions per second it can process. Do you realize the Holy Spirit right now, there's 8 billion people on the earth, roughly, that we know of. 8 billion. How many thoughts are you having in a second? I'd say at least one, 1,001. Many times we have multiple thoughts in a second. Let's just say one. So right now He's processing, He's not a computer, He's a person, but He's processing 8 billion thoughts, even if they're not turned towards Him a second. He knows every thought that's processing over this whole planet. And He's not just hearing them. Many of them, He's responding back to them, probably all of them, in a language that they can understand to try to call them, can bring him. So we're talking billions of processing transactions per second. And He's not just doing that. He's planned out every person's life and is bringing us. When you look back over your life, He is bringing you to a place. He's bringing you to a person. He's steering you. And those things He says back to you are not random. They are to guide you and direct you in a certain place. And He's doing this with every single human being on the planet, every second, billions and billions of times a second, with a plan, because He wants, it says, it's not my will that any should perish. And whether we're pre-saved, saved, not saved, whatever, He's bringing every one of them. All of this is happening at a level that our level of technology cannot even comprehend. And you know, it's easy for Him to use the language we were talking about earlier. It's not a strain. He has plenty of downtime. He can rest. He can relax. Billions, right now, he's processing billions, we'd call it transactions in the computer world. Billions of transactions per second, every time in your life with a perfect and a goal to bring us into the Trinity, to bring us to the person of Jesus Christ, and it's easy for him. And it's a pleasure for him. And so when we pray, we are entering into that place. We're entering into that person where he can center his entire attention on you, even though there's 7.999 billion other people, and he makes us all feel at home, at place, in the center of attention. And it's easy for him. This is a God that is amazing. And it's just, in some ways, it's an honor. Some ways it's scary to think I get to talk about the Holy Spirit and to try to represent Him in an accurate and a fair way. Over time, over the next several months, we're going to talk about each of the Trinity. We're going to talk about the Father. We're going to talk about the Son. But right now, we're on the Holy Spirit because I just feel that's where we're at. And so the Spirit-led prayer, as I call it, I think there's probably a better word. I've struggled with it. Person-led prayer, that person is the Holy Spirit, same thing. Presence-led prayer is something we need to move into. And this is what I've been doing for a long time. And I've been trying, and so I'm trying to put it into words. Some of this will be repeat for what we've done before. Is before I, most of my life when I've prayed, I did the second word first. So to connect, ask, listen, I would just ask. Most of the time probably didn't listen. I'm not sure how much I connected. Now this connected word, I've struggled with it on and off all day. I've said, this isn't quite the right word, but it's the best word I can come up with. I've struggled, should it be wait? Maybe. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Most people have heard this. I've put in there pause. But you could wait. The reason I didn't use those words, you could wait and you could pause without connecting with Holy Spirit. You're just waiting. The key is here, we want to connect with this amazing third person of the Trinity, which is inside of you, that's doing all of this all around the world all the time. But when you connect and say, you know, something along this way, is so when, let me say it this way. When I start to pray, I don't generally start with a second word. Looking through some of these verses, jumping ahead. I can't find the verse right now. But it says that, where's, you know, the verse that says the Holy Spirit prays through us with groanings too deep because we do not know how to pray. Now, we do pray. There's all these different things. I've already mentioned them, prayer of agreement, declarations. But I think the most important thing is before, even if I've been doing this, before I pray over people up front, it'll be internal, it'll be quick, is I'll just say, Holy Spirit, you're right here with us right now. Now, you can do this at the speed of thought. You know, he's telepathic. You can just think it. Now, most of the time I do say it out loud because I need my mind to be engaged. But, you know, if you're around other people, you can just think it. You can really even feel it. And just say, Holy Spirit, come into this situation. What are you doing right now in this person's life? Because he's communicating with them, 8 billion people per second. He's already speaking to them. He already knows everything about them. He knows everything about the situation. Say, what do you want to do right now? And then, as Jan said earlier, what do you want me to do? But even when I'm at home by myself, and if I'm a ministry situation, it's typically what I do. But if at home, I do it a little different. I just connect with Him because He's an amazing Holy Spirit. It's not even getting to the place of asking. As I said a couple weeks ago, if you've got 10 minutes of prayer, spend 8 of it in worship. Just because He is who He is. And just spend time in His presence. Most of the time when I do that, by the time I get to the ask portion, I don't need to ask anymore. And we're going to talk about that. Why is that? Because when you connect with Him and you understand, not just in your head, but your heart, He knows all about you, all about your situation. It's like, I don't even need to ask. I just rest. And so the first connection is this connect with Him. Pause, acknowledge, and then simply ask whatever it is you need to pray. What do I need to do in this situation? Now, typically what I've done in the past, which I'm trying not to do anymore, I go in and ask for a certain direction, a certain outcome, a certain result. I need this, I need that, I need it by Tuesday, and give Him my list. He is a gracious God, but I think there's a better way. Is to say, you know, I'm facing this right now. I need an answer to this right now. What are you doing with it, Holy Spirit? And how can I cooperate with you in it? It totally takes off the pressure. If you realize He's this 8 billion calculations, people, thoughts, whatever you want to call it, I don't even know how you do it per second, and it's not even hard for Him. See, we think it's hard for Him. And so one of the things that just truly grieves my heart as I'm in different churches and in prayer meetings, true prayer is to be joined with a person, not worked up. It is not something that I initiate and hope that He joins. I want to find out what He's doing and join what He's doing about that situation. There is no situation that comes to you in ministry, no situation that comes to you in your family, no situation that comes up that He's not already known about it before you were born and already has a direction, and it's in His computer programming. He's not a computer, but I'm trying to get a point across. He already knows about it. It's not a surprise. How many prayer meetings have I been in over the decades where people thought the more they paced the room, the louder their volume was, the more times they did repetition, that it was going to make a difference. That's because they aren't connecting with a person. You don't treat people that way. You know, in the marriage relationship, if your spouse isn't doing what you want them to do, or your best friend or your employer, you know, yelling, walking around, repeating it, just gets old. They may do it because they're getting tired of you and they want you to get you out of your face, but it really didn't accomplish much beyond that prayer. Oh, good, they're gone. I hope they don't come back. Matthew 6:7 says this. This is Jesus. When you pray... I've always wondered about this for years until I started to understand the person part of it. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. Those are the ones that were praying to false gods, that were idols, throwing food down, and if they were worshiping Moloch, they were bringing their babies to get murdered. That's what the Gentiles were doing. He's saying, you're praying just like them. Like I'm not a person. Like I'm not alive. Like I can't hear you. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. I've already, you know, gave you my commentary. So if you find yourself repeating, stop talking and connect. When I feel a distance from you right now, Holy Spirit. I feel like you're not listening. I feel like you're not around. Stop and start worshiping Him. saying how great he is and how awesome he is. Enter into, and then you'll start getting an understanding of who he is and what he is doing. The biggest thing we have to guard against is, so follow me. These are simple truths, but hard to live out. Prayer is not the activity of man first. Prayer is man joining the activity of God. That's why it's important to connect with him first. Galatians 2:20. It is not I, but Christ in me. Okay, that's a big theological thing. Christ in me. What does that mean? I don't really know except this. Start with connect. Holy Spirit, you're inside of me. Slow your soul down. Slow your mind down. Slow your emotions down. Slow your will down. And let me connect with the infinite spirit that's inside of me. Your soul's infinite too, but let me connect with the infinite spirit that's inside of me. Paul understood that the experience of his entire life, this is how we pray without ceasing, is not dependent on me. Rather, it's dependent on the connecting with the internal presence of the Holy Spirit inside of me. So that's a big theological truth. What does it mean? Slow down and try to connect. And so, on listen. So give your prayer requests. Mention it to the Lord. Make it a dialogue, not a monologue. How many of you have that friend or that person at work, you hate to see them come because you're never going to get a word in edgewise the next 2 hours or however long you stay there? It is not a dialogue, it's a monologue. The Holy Spirit is so gracious. He's like, I got all the time in the world. You know why? Because I'm outside of time. Time is created and I'm not created. I'll stay here and let you dialogue all day long. And then whenever you stop because you've worn yourself out, I mean, let you monologue all day long. Whenever you stop, I'll come along and start speaking to you again. That's why usually you hear him when you first wake up in the morning and in the shower. Or right before you go to bed because your brain has stopped monologuing. And it's hard. But silence, dialoguing, is a key to hearing Holy Spirit. He is a gentleman. He doesn't talk over you. He doesn't talk through you. Sometimes he'll yell at you if you're about to do something stupid and you're going to die. I have had him do that, which the consequences are, you know, pretty rough. Job 37:19 says, teach us what we shall say to him. So it's important. Listening is a big deal. Spend more time listening than ask. Ask, we need to ask. Father, it says in Philippians 4:6-7, give him all your cares and worries, and he'll give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. So connect, when you start sensing his presence, start worshiping a little bit, say, this is really bothering me. Give it to him. And then listen and see if he says anything. Let's talk just a little bit about some false beliefs about prayer. And then maybe we'll come back to this. Because these are foundational things. And maybe you've never had these false beliefs. Maybe it's just me. The belief system, I've already talked about it a little bit, that somehow I can convince God that the length of my prayer will impress him enough to do the thing that I ask. How many of you ever been there? Or the intensity of my prayer. Or the physical position I'm in my prayer. Or my passion of my prayer. Courtney over here has got a little boy on his lap, on her lap. Do you think when Asher, he gives his needs all the time because he's a one-year-old or however old he is. Do you think she's ever caught off surprise? I don't think there's probably been one time yet that he's communicated whatever that little boy's needs are, whether he's one or 12, that she's ever caught off guard with Asher's needs. She probably knew him before he ever had them or ever spoke them. As good of a parent she is, the father is even a better parent. And if you realize he's a person, the Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, when you go to pray, he already knows your prayer request. He already has a direction. He doesn't always share it right then, but he's already got a solution. He doesn't have to come up with it. He came up with it before there was ever time. And if you realize he is a good father, and you believe that he's a good dad, you don't have to convince him of your prayer request to do it. When you start trying to convince him of your prayer request to do it, either by your posture or your language, something you've learned or picked up somewhere along the way, what you're doing is really insulting him. And going, I've got to do something to get your attention. I've got to do something to get you to move. And the inherent base thought in that is you're not a good father. I've got to advocate for myself. You'll see that? And if we can get to a place to realize it's about a relationship instead of a vending machine, it's relational instead of transactional. I just need something. And enter, okay, Holy Spirit, Father, you can pray to whoever. This is going on in my life. Thank you for walking through it with me. Thank you that this thing is going to turn out well because you're a good father. Thank you that you're going to show me how to move and live and have my being in you, as Jesus said. And if you find yourself going, I wonder if he's going to answer this prayer. He's already answered it in time past. I mean, and he will answer it. It may not be the way we want, but you don't ever have to convince them of anything. And when the anxiety comes up, go, I'm getting anxious. It's because I don't trust you. And you need to go back to connecting because it's relational. And so there's several questions we have to ask ourselves to get into good spirit-led prayer. Is he the sort of God who does speak? Can we trust him that he wants to speak? Can we trust him that he wants to speak to me and not just to the worship leader on the stage? Think about it this way. Good fathers slash mothers, I'm just generic here, speak to all of their children. I don't know this for sure, but I know Courtney and her walk. I imagine her and David spoke to their when they were in the womb. They speak to their kids. He speaks to you. And guess what? Asher's got three older siblings, Brenna, Adeline, and Emerson. He doesn't have to go to Emerson, which is the first one, and go, can you get mom to do this for me? You see how that translates over into the Christian life? Can you get Sean, who had an awesome encounter, can he pray for me, for me, for this to happen? Well, he could, but why don't you just pray for yourself? Good fathers speak to you people directly. Let me just tell you this. You are more than important enough for him to speak to you. However that may be. It may be a feeling. It may be a thought. It may be peace. And you can have full confidence that when you connect, he's connected. Share with him your heart. Share with him your requests. And most of us are fathers in this room or can imagine being fathers slash mothers in this room. It's no different than your kids. You want to do whatever you can for your kids within reason. Asher's got this, because we live next to each other, he's got this little motorcycle that goes like 1 mile an hour when you do the little throttle. They've got it on low speed, right? It's not on the fast speed, 5 miles an hour. He's like barely moving. So she's a good parent, puts them on 1 mile an hour speed limit, or whatever it is. He may answer for us. Because he knows if Craig gets the 5 miles an hour on this, he's going to end up in a brick wall somewhere. But I'm going to get him there. And so this is simple. But I tell you, it will change your life in everything you do. And I think it will start giving you an understanding, and me an understanding of, Paul said, pray without ceasing. How do you pray without ceasing? I mean, connect regularly. Just connect. You don't even have to ask. Just connect. I think that's prayer. Because prayer is Holy Spirit. Prayer is a person. And then ask. And then truly listen. I'm finding most of my life now, not that yours will be the same, but I think it's the same path. Most of my life is the first word and the third word. There is some asking, but the more I do it, the less asking there is. It's legit. I'm not saying don't ask. But for me personally, when I connect, all of a sudden I just know when I'm in the presence of the Lord and feel it during the day, He's got this. He already knows it. I don't have to remind Him. And just with a quick thought, okay, we need to do something about this, Father. Then I'll go back to worshiping. And I'm spending most of my life now on the first word and the third word. Not that He talks all the time. He's not a big talker, at least with me. And when He does, very rarely is it more than a sentence. He talks with purpose, not like what we do. He talks with brevity, which is gold, because He's that much in connection with His soul. Many times I have to talk, try to figure out what's in my soul. Well, He knows what's in His soul. And so I would just challenge you, if nothing else, write down these three words. Practice the connect is the number one thing. Ask. And me, it's mostly, okay, what are we going to do about this? Because He already knows about it. A lot of times I don't even say it out loud. I just think it. All right. You know, it's just a quick thought. What do you want to do about this? And then I listen. And what I'm finding is it's moving way beyond prayer. And this is where prayer without ceasing, I think, is we've got so much more to learn. It's becoming a lifestyle, just connecting and listening continually. Being in a position that if He speaks, you can hear. Amen. That's all I got tonight.